This is John Bird interrupting your Saturday. Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There is nothing wrong. Your regular host is on vacation. She will return next week. I have taken control of her airwaves to bring you this special program. I'm honored to share your earbuds today and spent long hours thinking about who I wanted to interview. I wanted a subject who is deeply integral to the art scene, but also a person whose labor is not obvious and sometimes overlooked. I also wanted a person who could speak to the intersection of visual art, music, and literature. I've found that person. Marina Moses-Weiss, welcome to the State of the Arts.
Well, thank you, Johnny Bird.
As I alluded to earlier, many regular State of the Arts listeners may not be familiar with your work. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in the arts?
How did I get involved in the arts? I don't know, Johnny Bird. I've always been a part of our music scene, namely, and my function, because I don't play music, was to write and photograph and document it and to help push local bands forward within their careers. So I feel like that was the spark. And that went to writing for local, national publications. We were part of the first crew that started an online magazine. Do you remember that? It was called StanStreet.com.
Oh, yeah, back in the day.
A little guy named Beto that some people know. And then that went to creating, you know, being a part of creating a commercial radio station called Hero Radio here in town, which I think, unbeknownst to me, I see it now. You know, there's folks out there that are like in their early 30s, late 20s that are like, oh my gosh. Because we had this steady stream of awesome alternative music and concerts to accompany it. And it was nice to be a part of that shift in El Paso's history, because as you know, we're very cyclical around here.
We can be. So I remember that you were a college radio DJ at one point.
Totally, at KRUX up the street.
Is that how you got started? Was that your introduction to music?
I'd have to say it was, it starts with my dad.
Sure.
Because that's where it starts. And then back in the day, there was this place called The Headstand, which was kind of, well, the place is still there.
Yeah.
But back then, The Headstand's function was to be El Paso's independent record store and gathering of all the weirdos in town that were doing fun stuff. Everybody from your dad going to buy a dashiki to like the black metal dudes coming to buy a Venom record. That was where you came together. So growing up, I'm like, I'm going to work there. So I think it started there.
You did work there?
I worked at The Headstand. Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's where I met the beautiful cross-section of creatives that are here in El Paso. And even when I went to school at NMSU and did my radio show, I still kept that job, so I would drive down
on the weekends. I'm sorry, Pat. I think Marina just said a four-letter word. I'm not familiar with federal communication guidelines, but is that something you need to beep out? NMSU?
I'm a UTEP student now. Does that count?
Well, all right, then. Okay. So The Headstand supported a lot of musicians, didn't it? I mean, like in literal terms, musicians worked there and made a living to supplement their work as musicians, right?
Yes, yes. And back then it was like the only ticket outlet where you could get tickets to small club shows.
Yeah.
It was just kind of an integral part of our local music scene. So I'd have to say it was there first, then KRUX, and then, you know, kind of being aware of the folks that are coming through town saying, well, come to an interview here when you play a show in El Paso, and then, you know, we'll kind of create this little circuit.
But from there, it seems like you started a career as a music promoter. Is my memory right?
It's one of the things I've done, and I think I still get mistaken for that, because whereas music is my passion, I wasn't able to make a living out of it. The closest I got was being a radio DJ and doing all the events and concerts that came with that. So yes, but when that vehicle kind of left, I moved on.
So you stepped out of that entirely?
Yeah, unless you count a little public art festival called Chalk the Block. But I have stepped out of that too.
That brings up an interesting question. You are not somebody who can be described with a single noun in terms of your work life.
Right.
You have done all sorts of different things. You are a music promoter. You have your own PR company. You, along with Ben Fife, started Chalk the Block. You've done all these different things. What is the through line for you? What is the thing that connects all those spaces for you?
Just creatives and seeing a need for something. I think I tell people this all the time, and I firmly believe it. El Paso is a blank slate. So if you have an idea, you have an honest shot at doing whatever it is. So when Ben and I get together, our friend Jay, and say, hey, we should do a public art festival, it's like, yeah, we should. And then we just do it. And it's like that for everything. Although I will tell you this, there's two things. The older I get, the less beeps I care about stuff. But the older I get, the more afraid I am. I didn't realize how fearless I was. I'm definitely still of that spirit. But I tend to see now all the barriers before of like why maybe we shouldn't do something, mostly because I've done it before. Mm-hmm. And kind of learned that lesson. But a lot of me wishes, I wish I didn't see that obstacle. Because if I didn't see that obstacle, I would just do more things. But I don't know if it's seeing an obstacle or if it's, you know what, this isn't worth time and energy. Let's move on and do something else.
That strikes me as really interesting. So I see participating in the arts in El Paso as living in the future.
Yeah.
El Paso is artistically where the country is going to be in 20 years. That's where we are. And not just because of the quality of the art, but just in literature, which I'm most familiar with, there's a real urgency about making a national literature that represents the demographics of our country. But in El Paso, that's already happening. So I feel like we're constantly ahead of the curve. But the artists aren't maybe getting the recognition they deserve yet.
And yet a lot of them are very much on their way. I talk to a lot of young artists here, and social media is a tremendous vehicle. You know, where before we'd have to kind of do these little ripples. You know, you drop that little drop of water and it goes out until you go national. Mm. Nowadays, if it's the right thing, it could just go straight there. I see them doing that a lot. So I think it's a matter of that right person, the right vehicle, and the right moment, which I think we're getting closer to. You know, a lot of the folks I talk to get a lot of their art commissions strictly from social media, which I find incredible. And yet that's how I found them too, right?
That's really amazing that you say that. I have to admit that when I first created my Facebook account I'm going to date myself here, it was ages ago. But I did it mainly because my brother was on Facebook.
Right.
And he doesn't talk, but he would talk on social media. And at that time, it was kind of fun, but then all of us got jobs, and now it feels like people don't talk on social media the way they used to. And so I've kind of given up on it. But it's interesting to hear you say that you still find value in the work.
Well, they don't talk the same way, but they sure are hustling.
Well, it's a good place to hustle. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of what being a creative person is the hustle.
Yeah, and I think a lot of these folks are understanding that. I think whereas maybe when you and I were coming up, it was hard to just say, I'm an artist and this is what I do, yada, yada. Like, it was more like, I have a job and I play in a band, you know, and sometimes I go on tour or whatever. Those stories are still out there. But I feel like more and more people are giving themselves that agency at a younger age.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. To me, it seems like the through line in your work is you've constantly been promoting other people. That seems to be a...
Yeah, because we live in a beautiful place and everybody should know about it, right?
Right. But so I just wonder how that's changed for you, going from mimeographing flyers for a concert to today. How does that impact your work and how you focus on it?
Well, I mean, I made it my job. I built a company around that. So every day we're pushing out stories of remarkable El Pasoans and what they do today. For mm-hmm. example, we had a story go national, and it was a lady who was paralyzed, worked for 2 years with her therapist. And she said, you know what, when I kick this wheelchair, I'm going to do the electric slide. And she did. And when I saw that story, I'm like, we have to send this to the planet. So we did, you know.
Yeah.
But we do that every single day. Every single day. It's, you know, sometimes it's somebody like that. Other times it's, you know, some cool startups coming to El Paso, or somebody got a promotion, or this thing is opening. Every single day.
So I neglected to ask earlier, what is the name of your PR firm?
It's called Barracuda PR. We're going to be 10 years old this year. Can you believe that?
No kidding.
No kidding.
Wow, I still remember when you started it.
I know, right?
It's a little bit scary.
It's totally scary.
And how many folks do you employ?
I have 9 full-time staff.
Wow.
And we work every single day.
The thing that strikes me as most remarkable about that is that, I forget what you did before you worked at Barracuda, but you're a woman who started a business in a pretty fickle field, and you've grown, that's a fairly large staff. You must be doing pretty okay.
I hope so. Every day. Every day is a hustle, Johnny Bird.
I hear you. So, Marina, the Constitution of the United States, in Article 2, Section 3, Clause 1, requires a regular report to the people on the state of things. So, Marina, fulfill your constitutional requirements. Give us this report. What is the state of the arts?
That's a big one, Johnny Bird. But I'll say this. The state of the arts in El Paso is that we have a beautiful creative community, be it music, be it visual, be it writing. And folks here are very supportive of each other. And they're just doing it. And they're just doing it every day. And it's our responsibility as good Americans to support these creative people in their pursuits.
And what's the best way for us to do that?
Go to a show, go to an art show, go to last Thursday's, go to a music show, buy a book, talk about it on social media.
Help those people make a living, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Marina, I'm sure our audience at State of the Arts is extremely proud to learn more about you and the work you do here in our community. So thank you very much for coming in today and speaking with State of the Arts.
Thank you so much, Johnny Bird. It's been a pleasure.